Al, you're here today participating in the opening of a pilot plant for cellulose nanocrystals. What is the involvement of Alberta Pacific with this project?
Well, we were one of the, I guess, the initial interested industrial partners in the project. Through my association with other organizations across Canada, I learned of this material and I saw some huge utility and huge opportunity for my company to possibly produce this material. And since we're in Alberta, there may be opportunities to put some of this material into some of the formulations that are used within oil sands and traditional oil extraction, I guess, from conventional oil wells and things like that, as well as developing new novel materials. What drove me to that is I felt that our industry, is paper industry, is in decline because electronic media is taking over. And how do I continue to create the jobs and keep my people working to keep my plant being profitable into the future is I have to look at new materials. So that was what drove me to be involved.
What do trees have to do with cellulose nanocrystals?
Well, that's a really good question. Trees, actually, if you looked at a tree and took an individual fiber of a tree and started to dissolve the what they call the amorphous region of a tree, you're left with a very tiny rod-like crystal. So deep down at molecular level or nano level, which is why, hence cellulosic nanocrystals, we have this little component. And I like to think of it as part of the skeleton of holding the tree together. If you imagined it together, multiple things of those rods and those fibers make a tree stand up. So it ends up having very strong and high aspect ratio material that can be used for all sorts of materials, whether it's panels or films, or most easily as viscosity modifier type applications.
Since you're with a pulp mill, you would normally expect that the trees would be used to make pulp, but this is taking the trees and using the cellulose to make something else. So what might be some of the products that would come from that?
What we're looking at doing is actually taking the trees, continue to make pulp, take some of the pulp. Instead of selling it to a paper maker or a tissue maker, we take some of the pulp and put that through another process, which dissolves that another step of refining, so to speak, to get those crystals out. So you're actually not taking the pure tree. It's actually after you've made pulp out of it. And there are other guys trying to make it from the tree, but our idea here is taking the pulp. So there are lots of different applications. I mentioned in my talk earlier today is that there's the future. So way out here, there's researchers at the University of Alberta and the University of Toronto looking at making a gel. At certain concentrations, this becomes a bioacceptable gel. So our bodies are veterinary medicine to carry like a drug incipient or even grow in tissues in. Our bodies won't reject it for whatever reason. So you make this gel and it goes in. So that's way on one end of the spectrum. The other end of the spectrum, be used for paints and varnishes. This material, because of its strength and its hardness, can actually be used to, when you coat or paint a deck, or make a material that may be used into making deck or a coating on a door, it doesn't scratch. And UV light doesn't damage. So they're on the other, an easy early stage application that we're looking at in the forest sector. It could also be used to strengthen paper. So you have the regular paper, you add some of the NCC into the paper and you can maybe get a stronger paper. And that gives the paper maker the opportunity to run a thinner, lighter sheet, get more feet of paper with less raw virgin fiber. Or maybe use more recycled fiber or weaker type pulps. And then the other opportunity we're interested in exploring here probably is more what's the idea of our application development lab here at the pilot plant is to actually create, we believe, with based on some researchers and scientists here that we've dealt with, there's opportunities to make a biopolymer out of it. What that means, we can make different formulations or modify the NCC to make something that will help as a viscosity modifier that maybe reduces the cost or helps the performance of a drilling mud additive is one idea. We think it'd be used fracking fluids. Fracking fluids use lots of different chemicals, and then being from the forest sector, I don't know what those are, but the scientist guys I deal with say there's an opportunity maybe to put this into fracking fluids because the issues they deal with under high pressures and high temperatures, these unique properties of NCC can help them in their fracking operations be more efficient, get more oil out, more environmentally friendly because it's coming from a renewable source.
How far out is it that you would actually see these ideas come to fruition?
There's some research going on at the university level right now, so I think we're probably 3 years away. It could go faster if we had some partners immediately that wanted to saw the utility and the value and wanted to move quicker. The struggle we've had is we haven't had enough NCC available to actually do the trials and really prove that this idea works. And now we're at the stage with the opening of this plant today. Now kicking into the next year of production of it, we'll start having adequate quantities to do some real field trials with it. So I'm thinking now that we have that going, we could be as quick as 18 months to have that product produced. and it would be another 18 months to 2 years to build another plant.
This is a pilot plant. How much is it going to produce?
It can produce 100 kilograms per day. Realistically, it's probably going to make 25 to 50 because I don't think they're going to run it 24/7. So I think you're looking at maybe running it 5 days a week for 8 or 10 hours a day. So, but if we had to, we could ramp it up, double the shift or whatever. So.
Now, you're talking in kilograms, and I know that when you're dealing with a pulp mill, you're talking about tons and tons. What's the comparison here?
I guess the comparison would look at, you need maybe a different way to look at things. You've heard of asbestos fibers and how bad asbestos fibers, just to give an idea of size. So you look at the asbestos fiber and where asbestos fiber is and how bad that is. Well, NCC is actually smaller than asbestos fiber again. So what it is, if you imagine a kilogram of it, would probably more than fill this room. So it's very light, very high aspect ratio material. And that's the beauty of it. So you need very little of it to get the unique strength properties or additive properties you're looking for. So you don't need a lot of it. When we're pulp mill, we're selling tons of this material. Or to try to get, say it's kraft pulp into a paper maker, they're trying to get strength by adding northern bleach sulfate kraft. You may not have to do that, which is not necessarily good for the sulfate producers, but for the paper maker, he may like that. And I think that's just the one idea. So really the question or the answer is really use a lot less of this material. It may cost some more money, but it's going to use significantly less of it to do the same job that some of these other applications are using today.
Now, you wouldn't go into this unless it had some sort of business advantage for you. What is the state of the forest sector today, and how is this new technology going to help you?
Well, that's one of the challenges right now is I think the state of the forest sector is, the whole sector is probably fairly healthy. We're under huge competitive forces from Southern Hemisphere on the pulp and paper side. The lumber side is growing, it's doing better because the U.S. housing market is coming back. We've grown inroads into China. Pierre mentioned earlier about cross-laminated timber. There's new technology being developed all the time in lumber. So the core lumber side, I think, is going to always continue to grow in as population increases. The pulp and paper side is tougher as we're under threat from digital media and digital ways of communications and putting us out of business, kind of the way the Kodak thing went eventually. You know, how many pictures do you have on paper versus on a flipping digital machine? So we need to figure out how do we coexist or return some of those biomaterials into some of that product or products that are linked to making those things. So that's how people are going to read things. That's how people are going to communicate. That's how people are going to do their work. So how do we repurpose those products? Interestingly enough, the molecules are almost the same. So we're talking NCC, but I could be talking sugars into biochemicals or biobutanol or plastic precursors or PLA or whatever from the same molecule. So it's not just NCC is one idea. We're going to have probably five or six different ideas to really repurpose value from that forest when the paper markets continue to decline.
What are the challenges for you at this stage?
A couple key ones come to mind. One is finding partners down the value chain that want to collaborate in producing this material, see a value in doing something different than what they're conventionally doing, getting the price point right of that, so they're not going to cost them money to do that. So how do we work together? We don't know their business. How do we work together to make this material into their current formulations and they can get some either green benefit out of using a renewable chemical, or basically it's a chemical, into their products, or actually maybe make it a superior product than they are today, or guys that are in the business of, could be a company that makes automotive parts, so they could be taking our material, formulate, running through their molding machines with some cellulosic nanocrystals laced in there with other polymers and things to make their plastic parts and foams and things for cars, and really changing the whole environmental footprint of an automobile, for example, making it lighter, making it stronger. Getting in with those guys and getting some interest, so that's one of our biggest challenges. We don't have a bottomless pit of money, so the other challenge is getting enough money to actually do this research. I was speaking to a guy on Monday, actually, who was in the market development, or product development, brand development type business with Procter & Gamble years ago, and he told me their rule of thumb was it takes $100 million in 5 years to develop a new brand. It's not going to be easy for us. So, and our industry, as I mentioned earlier, is we're struggling. We're not making hundreds of millions of dollars we can throw into research. As an industry, we're not making that. So how do we actually do this and really create those jobs, keep those jobs in rural Alberta, grow new jobs? Well, another challenge is people. All this thing's going to take people to do it. New people, educated people, highly educated people, maybe scientists and things to really develop these products and take them to market. So there's a huge growth opportunity for young people and people that care about that as well, that want to get into the biosciences and the bioproducts kind of thing. So there's opportunities. Now the challenge is, how do we get them interested to do that instead of, you know, just let's go be a mining engineer? So well, that's the challenge for us. So we have lots of good ideas. People look around the room, and today a lot of them are gray-haired and older type people. We need some younger people that want to move this thing forward. So that's a big challenge for me. And I have in my company some people, young people, that are very interested, engaged, and still with us because of maybe this opportunity.
What about intellectual property, though? You're one company working with some scientists and agencies to develop this. Are you keeping that to yourself, or are you sharing it?
Well, that's a very difficult question to answer, because it kind of depends. So each institution kind of has different rules around the IP. Personally, unless I put all the money in to develop it, I don't really want the IP. I'll have operational know-how how to produce it, because the actual know-how how to make NCC is, it's common knowledge. You can get it off the internet. It's about how you perfect that and make that better and make it economical. So process IP. You know, I could see myself someday, if we built the plant, to develop that and maybe patent some ideas around that. On the product side, though, this is one of the issues we have, whether it's a university or the company that uses the material. If the AITF developed that product, then there's going to be a licensing agreement to license somebody. And if I was involved in that, then I'd have some licensing revenue coming back. I don't see a lot of money in that, because what we're trying to do is really get material out there. Don't let it get too commoditized, too early, too fast, because the forest industry really needs a higher value-added product coming out of it. So it's about how do we protect that, how do we protect that for Canadian business, and at the same time, don't get in the way of it so you can actually get people to use it. So that's a trick. And I think the people here are trying to figure ways to do that. So our initial stance is get out some limited quantities of it to some pre-commercial stage. No IP entanglement issue. We'll produce it. You can say you need it, this specification, we'll make it here. You try it. But once you get to the point that you, the customer, see some value in it, you want to share the IP, let's talk about that. So those are kind of the agreements we want to do. Here, we don't think we will do that without sharing this IP. The other models of just holding it yourself are not working.
So is this something where you could have one of these plants attached to each pulp mill? Or does the plant have to be centralized and then different suppliers send the cellulose?
The best way to do it would be to have it a bolt-on into an existing craft pulp mill, because of all the utilities issues, the environmental issues as far as waste. A leak in a tank of a strong acid solution going into the municipal city wastewater system probably isn't a good idea. So it's really the best way is to do that around a pulp mill. You don't have to. Like, we could ship the pulp to here. We could have controls and containment systems, as we do here at the pilot plant, to collect any of the spills that might happen so it doesn't go into the river, into the effluent system, treatment system. You could do it that way. It doesn't have to be there. And that's the nice thing. Once you produce it, you could ship it. You could have the plant somewhere else, make the product next door to the person that needs it as a polymer. So you're actually not restricted to that. It just makes it a lot easier and probably drops your capital costs a lot more. And you get some synergies about having, if you do the next step and put a sugars, biomass fractionation system alongside that to say get C5 and C6 sugars out of some of your waste materials, there's a sugar stream that comes out of the cellulose nanocrystals. You could put into that as well and make other chemicals. It's a very pure sugar stream. There's different synergies. So you look at it as the integrated biorefinery model. It's a piece of that integrated biorefinery model. For it to be here, you know, we ship pulp all over the world, so it's not a big deal to ship a few tons a day to Edmonton. It's not that big a deal.
From an environmental point of view, what does this mean?
If we continue to develop this space, so 10, 15 years down the road, and we perfect the manufacturing process and we can produce all these materials, they think, whether it's plastics, whether it's carbon nanotubes from NCC or parts for a computer, that computer right there, your iPad screen, all this stuff is coming from oil-based chemicals, oil-derived chemicals. So as oil prices get higher and oil gets maybe less and less available, what else are we going to do to make these products? So we can actually switch it over and produce some of these same materials, same plastics out of these renewable, out of a tree. So the tree will grow down, you use those molecules and put it in through. So that's an environmental change. Other environmental aspects immediately is some of the research opportunities, which have to be researched yet and proven, but maybe there's opportunity within current oil. So if you looked at oil, the energy requirement to get oil out, whenever we're getting hammered, how much energy are we used to get the oil out of the sand, whether it's getting oil out of the ground or vice versa? What causes that increase in energy? So if we understand some of those things, are the unique properties associated with cellulosic nanocrystal gels that we could put into an in situ steam chamber for getting oil out of the ground that causes that steam to be better utilized too. So we reduce the amount of energy required to get the same barrel of oil out is some of the ideas. The other pieces, maybe there's opportunities because of its unique hydrophilic properties that cellulose and nanocrystals have, then maybe there's a way we can formulate this thing to make a biopolymer or something with tailings mitigation to help separate, you know, the issues we have with the tailings, whether it's, and I don't know what all the things are, but they have some bad, nasty things that are left in the water everybody talks about. And how do we deal with that as a filtration media or some way to get it, or add it to make it settle, all these different things. And then the other end is you start making lighter, stronger car parts. So you reduce the amount of fuel required to move the vehicle, and you make the vehicle stronger. So, and again, a lot of car parts today are made from oil or oil-based chemicals. So yeah, problem is, that's why oil companies maybe aren't too interested, because you're actually going to be competing with them sometime in the future. And that's not now, because the issue always, another challenge is, how do I do this and meet the price point for them? So you asked another barriers. To build an NCC plant of any commercial scale, top of my head, around $100 million to get a 10-ton-a-day plant, maybe more. So you're not going to build a lot of them. The price point has to match that, or no one's going to do it, even if there's utility with this product.
Yet if you're dealing with trees or other agricultural products, they keep growing. They're sustainable and renewable in that sense.
If you consider it now, we're harvesting, my company harvests about 2.5 million cubic meters a year of trees. We only harvest the same amount of trees that actually the forest puts on every year, so it's in balance, it's sustainable. You get offside, and now if we use less pulp, well, then maybe we'll harvest less trees. So we still have these trees that are going to eventually grow, and they're going to fall over and die, and no value was created. There's value ecologically for it, but from a financial value, wasn't created for Albertans and the citizens and companies. So if you can use some of that and still maintain that sustainability piece, you'd use it to offset carbon, climate change as well, because when you cut a tree, in my trees, you cut my trees, about 15 more trees grow every time you cut one, like giving a haircut. So it's kind of nice. So you can perpetuate this into perpetuity forever, right? You can continue, you can make these molecules, convert them. Some of these processing technologies are very low energy, outside energy requirements, so fossil fuel energy requirements are low, other than transporting the wood to the tree. We have to use, right now, diesel fuel and trucks, right? But eventually you can see that whole balance change as oil becomes either too expensive or scarce. Maybe chemical companies decide they want to have a greener stance on things. We're using sustainably derived products to produce the same thing you're buying today made from oil. So to me, that's environmental improvement.
It's an exciting opportunity. Thank you very much.
Thank you.